ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददति स्वापदं दिगं अददनश्चिनन्दन्तैवृतं यच्चे पुनः पुनः श्रीमरूपपदाम्बुजो दुलिस्यां जन्म जन्मनि। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्याद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। पञ्चकल्पतृभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुमेव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनाविने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनुगपरायते। So we're gathered here on this day. This is the Amavasya of the month of Bhaman, also known as Asar. And on this very day, two great personalities made their disappearance from this world. One was Srila Gadadhar Das Pandit, and the other was our very dearly beloved Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Our param 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 Gurudev. And on this auspicious day, we're sitting in Vrindavan Dham, where even today, for those who have the eyes to see, Radha and Krishna's eternal pastimes are taking place. And in that Vrindavan Dham, we're sitting in an area known as Ramanreti, the relishable sands, where Krishna and Balaram would sport with the cowherd boys. And in that Ramanreti, we're in a place where a pure devotee of the Lord saw an empty piece of land and said, let there be a temple, a devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this most glorious temple, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, manifest with the most beautiful deities of Sri Sri Gornitai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radhasham Sandar Lalita Visakha. So just about a month or so before, we gave elaborate description of the life of Gadadhar Pandit, who was at his appearance day. So we'll just briefly touch on Gadadhar. He was also resident of East Bengal, now known as Bangladesh, near Chittagong. But his family moved to Navadvip, as did many Brahmin families at that time. Jagannath Misra also moved. So Gadadhar was a very dear classmate of Nimai Vishwambar. In reality, he was none other than Srimati Radharani. But we've seen Radharani is always in very feisty mood, but Gadadhar, we never see that feisty mood manifest with him. Because Mahaprabhu himself has taken the bhava, Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Sarupam. He has taken the bhava and luster. So the bhava of Radharani has been taken away by Mahaprabhu himself. So Gadadhar Pandit is very, only one time we'll get to that. He became a little contrary to Mahaprabhu. But they were very great classmates. Although Gadadhar in the beginning was afraid, because Visambhar became a very great pundit, uselessly wasting his time in all types of arguments. In fact, he was so great, he would defeat anybody else's argument, and then he would turn around and defeat his own argument. He was established some point, and everybody, oh, wow, 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 then he'd turn around and defeat that point that he just established. And Gadadhar and other Vaishnavas, they were worried. He's so talented, if he could become a Vaishnava, this would be glorious, but he's just wasting his time in useless argument. Of course, Srivas and the Vaishnavas, they all blessed him that he become a great Vaishnava. Because we have heard that it is only by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So here is the proof. Srivas and Gadadhar, they always bless Visvambar that you become a Vaishnava. We get only become Vaishnavas by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Just like on this Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance day, I also completed my translation of Madhurya Kadambini, where this is elaborately described. We can only get bhakti by the mercy of the Vaishnava. It's out of print, but it's still available on Amazon, Madhurya Kadambini. Wonderful book. I've completed my translation on Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance day. So when Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya, having had contact with Ishwar Puri and received mantra diksha from him, he was a changed personality, always chanting the holy names, completely absorbed in Krishna. Everything was Krishna. He had to close his school because he could only teach Krishna. Everybody was expecting him, his wizard-like punditry, that he was just speaking, everything was Krishna, everything, and everything is Krishna. So here, Gadadhar, of course, and all Srivas, they were all overjoyed that he'd become great Vaishnava. And one incident is there, a very famous incident. This Mukunda was a very good friend of Gadadhar and many times took Gadadhar to meet wonderful Vaishnavas. And one day Mahaprabhu was shouting out, Pundarik, 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 Pundarik. So then the Vaishnavas questioned and he said, yes, great Vaishnava has come from Bangladesh, from Chittagong. Those days known as Chattagram. And he's a very wonderful Vaishnava. I want to see him. So Mukunda took Gadadhar and said, let's go and see. Gadadhar was very happy because Mukunda was always taking him to the lotus feet of Vaishnavas her whole life. In Krishna consciousness is Vaishnava Sangha. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Koi, Love and Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi. So he was delighted. When he got there, he saw him sitting on a nice asan, beautiful silk cloth, as white as the foam of milk, beautiful bolsters like that. Incense was filling the air, perfume was also filling the air. He had wonderful cloth, beautiful manicured hair, very nicely combed, and he had a silver pan container. He was chewing pan. And he appeared just like a complete sense-enjoyer materialist. So Gadadhar got some doubt within his heart. Where has Mukunda brought me? So Mukunda, seeing the face of Gadadhar, he could understand his doubt. He recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, all about how Sukadev Goswami is exclaiming that the sister of Bakasura, Putana, she came with intention to kill Krishna, but just because she gave a little bit of milk, Krishna gave her a post in Golok as a nurse. Sukadev Goswami says, like a mother. Jiva Goswami says, like a mother means nurse. I can't remember the name, Ambika Kilna, something like that. How such merciful Lord! She actually came to kill him, but she offered a little milk, so he gave her liberation all the way to Golok. Sukadev Goswami is astonished. Hearing this verse, Pundarik began to pull his hair, he fell off of his asan, he began to roll on the floor in the dust, he began to tear his very costly cloth. Then Gadadhar realized, oh, he's actually a very deep, profound Vaishnava. I've committed offense by thinking him as a materialist. Then he consulted later with Mukunda, and said, the only thing, way of nullifying this offense, I think, is to take initiation. He revealed his mind to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu said, yes, you must take initiation from Pundarik Virginity. So Gadadhar Pandit was initiated by Pundarik Virginity, who was actually none other than his own father, Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu Maharaj. So later he followed Mahaprabhu to Puri, because practically they were inseparable. Since their childhood they were classmates, they were practically inseparable. And in one garden by the sea, Mahaprabhu scratched the surface of the earth and said, Gadadhar, I'm going to give you a great treasure. And suddenly they found the topknap, and Gadadhar began to dig, and they found the beautiful, that garden was filled with, either the garden's name was Tota or the trees were named Tota, I can't remember just now. So he became known as Tota Gopinath, who was found in the garden of Tota trees. Who Gadadhar Pandit continued to worship the rest of his life, even after Mahaprabhu left this world, because he could not tolerate the separation within less than a year, within 11 months. On this very day, Gadadhar Pandit, unable to bear the separation of Mahaprabhu, left this day. So we're celebrating the disappearance day of this Gadadhar Pandit today. This is also the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We know that he also worshipped Gaur Gadadhar. His deities, wherever we see Bhaktivinoda, he was worshipping Gaur Gadadhar. Because Gadadhar is Radharani, so Gaur and Krishna. Radharani and Krishna. Even at his Samadhi Mandir in Godrumadweep, in Swananda Sukada Kunj, the deities are Gaur Gadadhar. So he chose this day, the very day that his worshipful deity left this world, he chose that very same day to leave this world. And we're extremely, our debt to Bhaktivinoda Thakur has no limit. It's only by the mercy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur we're all sitting here in this beautiful temple that I just described, in this Vrindavan Dham, although we come from all different parts of India and all different parts of the world. Because he was the first in our line of spiritual masters to think that the message of Mahaprabhu should be preached in foreign language, language outside of India. Just like I wrote a poem that maybe in Bengal, this certainly was all. Orissa too, they said, is where the name might spread. In Bharatvarsh maybe, but not beyond the sea. Thakur did not agree. If Chaitanya is Lord of all, let all lands hear his call. If Chaitanya is Lord of all, let all lands hear his call. So Bhaktivinoda began to preach, at least in English. And it's by his intense, tireless endeavors that we're sitting here in this Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. It's only by his mercy he conceived of the Krishna consciousness movement. And we're going to hear about that. In fact, we always hear that it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur who was praying, oh, for that day that the German, American, Russian, Japanese Vaishnavas will join together with their Bengali brothers in Mayapur and chant, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. But recently on Facebook I saw another quote, very important quote, where Bhaktivinoda says, oh, for that day where the German, American, Russian, Japanese devotees will take up the kartals and mrindang and go through the streets of their cities chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So this Harinam Sankirtan is very important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was praying for that day. Now we do retreats. Instead of going to the street, we go to the retreat. Retreat is a tactic. When you're a little weak, then you retreat, regroup your forces. But then, after regrouping your forces, you go back into the battlefield. We have to take Harinam Sankirtan back to the streets to fulfill the desire, the wish of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this was a wonderful quote. Oh, for that day when they'll take up the kartals and mridang in the streets of their cities and towns and sing the glories of the holy name. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he appeared in Ulagram near Bir Nagar. And he was actually born in very opulent circumstances, but shortly after his birth, they were thrown into poverty as his father died and other relatives died. And later they moved to Calcutta. At the age of 13, he moved, 12 or 13, he moved to Calcutta. And the time that he was born was, at that time, Gaudiya Vaishnavism was just considered a beggar's excuse to live at the expense of society. After Mahaprabhu left, so many apasampradayas has appeared, and the pure teachings of Mahaprabhu had been lost. And at that time, the British rule was becoming very strong, and the British very successfully convinced the Indians that their literature and culture were far inferior. There's one fellow named Bakali who they put this fake quote on the internet that he was saying that I've been to the length and breadth of this land, I can't imagine the opulence, there's not a beggar anywhere. There's no record of that quote anywhere. But he did say that if you took all of the Vedic literatures and put them together, they could not even equal the beginning book in our kindergarten. Something to that, I'm just paraphrasing. That he did say, we have record of that. And so the intellectuals, they also began to think like that. One was named Ram Mohan Roy, appeared, who began to mix up all of these Western ideas, and he denied Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divinity. He derided the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So all these modern ideas, working Brahmoism and all these different practically Mahaprabhu's real message was lost. Bhakti No was born into these circumstances. But later, he was able to catch up the real current. Just like sometimes there's wires lying on the ground, but if there's no current, you won't get hurt. But if you touch that wire with the current, then so Bhaktivinoda, he found that wire. Everything was in disarray. The wires were lying all the way, but most of them were dead. But he found that wire with the current. Began to present the real essence of Gaudiya Vaishnavism as it is. There has become now even scholars, university courses are there to study Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It's attained. It is all the hard work of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he had one paternal grandfather named Raj Ballabh Datta, who was quite a classy character in Calcutta. At that time, Calcutta was known as the city of palaces. But in his later life, he retired to Choti Mangalpur in Orissa. And he was just absorbed in bhajan. He withdrew, renounced everything, and just absorbed in bhajan. At one point he called Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a young man trying to find employment. He met one good friend who, in the British government, who promised to help him if he would take the teacher's examination and get him a teacher's job. When he got the word that his grandfather was calling him to Orissa, he came there. And his grandfather told that he sent the message that you must come soon, I will leave this world, I will not remain in this world much longer. You won't be able to see me if you don't come now. So he came there, met him. He appeared to be quite healthy. And he observed his habits. All day he was chanting the holy name and fasting. He didn't eat anything. Then late in the night, he would either take kachoris that were filled with chilies or milk with palm sugar, date sugar, cooked with date sugar. Otherwise, he was completely absorbed in chanting the holy names. And he gave all his blessings to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was an astrologer. He said, whatever post you get by 27, that will be your... At that time, he was 21. He said, that will be your life's mission and you will become very successful. Then he had to go take the test, teacher's test. After taking the teacher's test, I forgot one thing, most amazing. He said that he was going to leave, but he saw that he was quite healthy. And he was so strong, he would pull cobras out of their holes and beat them with his shoe and kill them. And he was quite a powerful person, and he couldn't understand how he was going to leave. So when he went and took the test, then he got word his grandfather was ill. So he returned to Choti Mangalpur, where his grandfather was worshipping who? Radha, Madhav and Jagannath. The same Radha Madhav, very mercifully in the month of Kartik, they come here and grace our altar. The very Radha Madhav that Bhaktivinoda wrote that beautiful song, Radha Madhav. Jai Radha Madhav. So he told him, he said, whatever employment you get by 27, one evening he called him close and he said, that will be your life's work and you will become a great Vaishnava But don't stay here. After I leave, don't stay here many days. You will become a great Vaishnava. I give you all my blessings. With that, he leaned back. His soul burst from the top of his head and he left this world. Bhaktivinoda was witness to this most glorious. He also would advise him to explore all the different mutts of Orissa. So Bhaktivinoda, after performing the last rites, his father said, don't tarry here after I leave. So then he moved around Orissa. In fact, he wrote a whole book. In that book it talks about it. Have one property in the district of Cuttack, which was given by my ancestors for if any sadhu on a rainy night needed shelter, he should take shelter there. But the present head of the institution has given up this practice and using it for his own purposes. But I went there and I very soundly chastised him and told him that if I hear complaints again, these lands will be cruelly taken from your hands. So Bhaktivinoda was very powerful and always very morally upright. So then, when he returned, he found that he passed the test, and by the help of his friend, he got a teaching job at the age of 21 in Cuttack. And he was paid 20 rupees a month. Now we don't even care about 20 rupees. You go to the temple and just throw the 20 rupee note on the altar. Just like in old days we used to throw paisa. Now with 20 rupee note we throw like paisa. He paid 20 rupees a month. Then he was stationed in different places as he got gradually, because of his great work and teaching. He was posted in one village and one Brahmin scholar came to visit him and begged for alms. He said, yes, there is a banyan tree where a ghost is staying there. You read Srimad Bhagavatam under that banyan tree for 1 month. You complete it in 1 month. So the scholar sat in that banyan tree reading Srimad Bhagavatam. After 1 month he completed the 12th canto. And as soon as he closed the book, the tree fell down and crashed to the ground. And the ghost was never seen or heard from behind again. Much to the joy of the people, except for those few dishonest persons who were worshipping the ghost for their nefarious purposes. Another village where he was posted, he gave a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam. Now he had discovered the superiority of Vedic literature, so then he was studying Srimad Bhagavatam. He gave such a lecture that attracted the attention of thousands of people. They gathered to hear his lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam. This way, finally, he was posted as the deputy magistrate. Now, in the British government, this was a big deal. Magistrates were always British. So to get such a high post deputy magistrate meant that the British were very impressed by his work. And immediately he began to correct all the malpractices in the temple and regularize the timings of the offerings to the and very much set everything straight in Jagannath Temple. At about this time he wrote Kalyana Kalpataru, which can only be compared to the works of Narottam Das Thakur. We're simply amazed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a very busy person. We can imagine, deputy magistrate, school teacher, still he wrote volumes and volumes of literature. This Kalyana Kalpataru can only be compared to the works of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Very, very, starting from the beginning of worshipping the Guru, going all the way up to engaging in Radha and Krishna's eternal pastimes. Very deep, very wonderful. Gradually he began to tire of service. He wanted to devote his time to Mahaprabhu, so he was trying to retire. He stayed in Barasat one time. Barasat, as soon as you leave the airport in Calcutta to go to Mayapur, first village you come to is Barasat. And there he met one modern fellow named Bankim Chandra, who was a playwright and very famous personality. But he wrote a book about Krishna filled with all westernized speculations. But he knew Bhaktivinoda Thakur to be a very great authority on Krishna Leela, so he showed the book to him. And for 4 days they sat and they completely revised the whole book and took out all the westernized speculation and based it on the actual philosophy of the Goswamis. So from there he decided that he kept applying for a post in somewhere near Navadvip so he could do more research on Bhaktivinoda, on Gaudiya Vaishnavism. But he never got that, no, they refused to listen to his plea, so finally he presented his resignation, which they rejected. They refused to let him resign. He was so efficient. So finally, to his great joy, he was posted in Krishnanagar. And Krishnanagar, we know, is just near Mayapur. Once he was stationed in Krishnanagar, then no free moment was left without pursuing research into the place and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, at that time, the actual birthplace of Mahaprabhu had been lost. In just a couple hundred years, everything was so degraded that even nobody knew. And he could see, even at that time, the town of Navadvip was of recent origin. He began researching and researching, but he couldn't find out anything. People kept telling him, eventually they simply told him that the Ganga shifted so many times, the real place is lost. But he wasn't willing to accept that. So he went deeper and deeper, found very old ancient maps with the word Sri Mayapur written on them. And many other, just like if you go to Yoga Pit right by it, there's a big tank that's called Dalal Digi, which is not far from Kazi's house. So if Kazi was living way over in the present Navadvip, how was his kirtan in Trivasangan disturbing him? There's many, many proofs. Anyway, he found one spot that was owned by the Mahavadins, and they were very upset because they couldn't grow any, though, no matter what they tried to plant, only Tulsi grew on that plot. So then he brought Jagannath Das Babaji, his actual spiritual master, his six-year spiritual master. At that time, Jagannath Das Babaji, I can't remember, way over 100 years old. He had a servant, I think named Bihari Das, who carried him in a basket. He was so weak he couldn't walk, he couldn't stand up. He was carried in a basket. And he couldn't see anything. He had to lift his eyebrows like eyelids to see. When they brought him to this place and Bihari Das lifted his eyebrows, this person who was over 100 years old, who couldn't walk, couldn't even stand up, he leapt meters into the air. Haribo! 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 This is the place. This is the place of our Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So somehow Bhaktivinoda managed to acquire that property, and then he formed the Gaur Vishnu Priya Trust and began to beg. It even came to the attention of the newspaper that this Kedarnath, that time he was known as Kedarnath Datta, is moving here and there to build this Gaur Vishnu Priya temple. We hope that no Hindu gentleman who's blessed by his presence will refuse him, no matter how much no matter how, whatever his might may be. This way he built this beautiful temple at Yogapith and established. He had such evidence, just near Yogapith, there's a little building, not much significant, it's a post office. Well, what's so great about a post office? The government named that post of Sri Mayapur Dham. That's the significance. That he had enough evidence, he even got the government to certify that this is Sri Mayapur Dham. Whereas other places, Navadvip. Well, I got some interesting news. Speaking of Navadvip, I don't know if anybody's ever been to Dhameshwar Mandir. So, and you've seen they have the actual padukas that Vishnupriya worshipped throughout her life. Our friend Madhu Pandit, we can mention his name, he's bringing those padukas in Kartik to Radha Damodar Temple. They'll be on display in Radha Damodar Temple in Kartik. Mahaprabhu actually had to get permission, because it's not under the authority of the temple, it's under the government. He got permission. So, although Navadvip is told to be the actual place of birth, Bhaktivinoda had such evidence that the government established Sri Mayapur Dham post office right next to the Yogapith. Anyway, we could say so many things about Bhaktivinoda. He established his Bhakti Bhavan in Calcutta for the preaching of the holy names and for bringing the intellectual class of men, intelligentsia, to the side of Mahaprabhu. He eventually got a place in Puri, Bhakti Bhavan, which now, unfortunately, the original Bhavan they destroyed to make a restaurant, but that Bhaktivinoda's place is there now, owned by ISKCON, Bhakti Bhavan, where he chanted and preached. He also had a place here in Radhakund. Brajaswan, his place in Godrum Dweep is Swananda Sukhada Kunj. This is Brajaswananda Sukhada Kunj, where Bhaktisiddhantals used to stay there, and we have the pictures drawn by our dear Bhaktisiddhanta Das of Prabhupada meeting with his young son, meeting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in that place. But he would spend his time between Bhakti Kutir in Puri and Swananda Sukhada Kunj in Godrum. In fact, it was there in Godrum where he had this vision one night that a huge city is going to appear on the other side of the Jalangi. He saw some special lights and he understood a huge city will appear there. He made this prediction. He also predicted that very soon a person will appear to spread the holy name of the Lord throughout the world. So he predicted Prabhupada's appearance. In fact, my poem continues, Thakur did not agree, why not across the sea? If Chaitanya is Lord of all, let all lands hear his call. And so he got a son to get this duty done. A lion amongst the saints, the Mayavadi faints. In you he marked the sign, talking about Prabhupada. He'll do the work in time. And so he got you gave you this request to get the whole world blessed. So he was praying for someone to help him in this mission of preaching in the Western countries. At that time he was magistrate of Puri. Now that Puri magistrate's house, Gaudiya Math has taken it over, and beautiful temple is there. But during Rath Yatra, one year the rust stopped in front of the house and refused to move. So Bhaktivinoda's wife, taking advantage of the fact that she was the deputy magistrate's wife, she brought her one son, Bimala Prasad, and brought him on the cart. As soon as she put him on the cart, Lord Jagannath's garland fell around his neck. So Bhaktivinoda can understand, this ray of Vishnu that he was praying for appeared. none other than Bimala Prasad, who became the illustrious Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who at least he began the preaching in the, he sent devotees to England and Germany, but they were unable to succeed very much. But he planted that seed in Prabhupada's heart. First meeting, he said, "You're intelligent, you know English speech, preach in the English language." And Prabhupada said, "But we're ruled over, we're ruled country, who will listen to us? We're enslaved, we're slaves, who will listen to the word of a slave?" And though everyone in India would have agreed with him at that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, "Mahaprabhu's message is too important to beyond political concerns of who's ruling, who's not ruling." And Prabhupada had never been defeated, he was defeated. But he understood the mission of Mahaprabhu was in great hands. So he took up the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the mission of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he spread this Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And he brought back devotees, he fulfilled both desires of Bhaktivinoda. Bhaktivinoda desired that Western devotees would join with their Indian brothers chanting Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. And he also desired that the Western devotees go through the streets of their towns chanting the holy names Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. So Bhaktivinoda was one of the first to write in English language. He published one book, especially famous book, Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts, which in 1896, everybody knows 1896, that book found its way to McGill University in Canada. 1896, of course, was the year that our Divine Master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, appeared. So it's very auspicious that that same year he published a book in English about Lord Chaitanya trying to convince the Westerners, as the British were trying to convince. There was only a few who actually understood the beauty of Vedic literature. But most of them just denigrated it. Such that it became so bad, even in the modern times. When I first came to India, the Delhi temple was in Anandiketan. And there was a big room downstairs that obviously could have been used as the temple room. But it was just books and nice chairs for people to sit and lecture hall. The deities were up on the roof and a small room on the roof. Because the British had been so successful that people thought this is deity worship, this is idol worship that is only indulged in by tribals and heathens. So Radha Parthasarathi were just on the roof. Now by Prabhupada's mercy, they have a huge, glorious temple in the capital of Delhi. Huge, enormous temple with thousands of people coming to see the deities. Prabhupada was so successful that people were embarrassed by deity worship. But now we see Prabhupada is just like this Vrindavan. Everybody was trying to take something from this Vrindavan. Nobody was thinking to make something in Vrindavan. You go to some temples, you see many, many deities on one altar. You think, oh wow, so many deities on altar. But the truth behind it is they sold the temple, they sold the property of the deity and just put them on that altar and sold another property, put him on the altar. But Prabhupada came here, invested money. Everybody was trying to get what they could get out of him, and Prabhupada invested money. Now we see temples going up all over the place. Bhaktivinoda Thakur must be in ecstasy, seeing the great preaching that Prabhupada did and his followers continue to do. So on this most holy day of the disappearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the disappearance of Gadadhar Pandit, we express our eternal gratefulness to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We can't imagine where we would be if it wasn't for his endeavors. And we pray that somehow or other we become the servants of the servants of the servants of the servants, das, 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 anudas, of the followers of Bhaktivinoda, Srila Prabhupada, and that somehow or other we can be of some service in this mission to distribute Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Hare Krishna. So we'll put our voice to rest here. If anybody has something they'd like to add, there's hundreds of things we could say about Bhaktivinoda. We only have small time. So if there's no questions or comments, then we'll fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who's come to sit here on the Vyasasan with us today. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki. Srila Gadadhar Pandit ki. Divine grace Srila Prabhupada ki.